where two or three people are gathered, God is always fully present. So when we choose to ask questions, we should know that the presence of Divine Spirit is there. We should understand that the Divine Spirit is fully present. No one can give us answers unless they are tuned in to allow that wisdom of God to permeate their consciousness, so that the divine truth can illuminate the questions and illuminate our mind, so that we're fully empowered to take whatever Spirit says and apply it. One of the things Spirit continuously says, what good is it if I give you everything you want, if I answer all your questions, but you do not make use of it? So let us be aware of that. When the response makes sense to you, please apply it to your daily life. In the process, it tells Divine that you are making the effort. And all efforts do not go in vain. They usually bring results. May that Divine Spirit guide our intellect, not only today, but for all of lifetime. Amen. So let us, whatever questions, whoever has any question, please ask.
Could you guide us how to cope with all this news, and especially being the election time and hearing all division between this nation, and it's basically around the world? Please guide us how to cope with it, how to go through it without judgment, but understanding of the both side or just the truth.
There's a request in chat to please repeat the question so that they can hear it.
The question is, we ask Spirit to reveal to us the truth, how to handle the situation we are going through now here in the United States because of election, the division, and not just here, but all over the world. How can we handle that without being in a place of judgment? I think that summarizes it. The first thing we need to acknowledge is that humans, we always judge whether we have the facts or not. It has been established in the environment that humans over millenniums and all of that have grown. Not because that's what God wants, but because we are trying to claim the authority of God without doing the work that will bring us into that divine benevolence. Even among spiritual people, they have totally different ideas what things mean. I mean, all you have to do, go to any scriptures. It doesn't matter whether it's Christianity, it's Judaism, it's Hinduism, it's Buddhism, or Islam, or natural. There are different interpretations on the same revelation. And people will rather, unless they are illuminated by the Spirit of God, they will rather die for their beliefs, for their opinions, actually. And so we need to acknowledge that. And then once we acknowledge that, the only remedy is to invite that Spirit of God in. Because that's the only way that we guide individuals not to go to a place of judgment, to see clearly. And also we need to be aware, even when Spirit reveals things to you that you know is that divine truth, you do not have the right to lord it over the other person. If they are not ready, if they are not willing, because that truth revealed to you is for you, so that you totally embrace it and then you put it into practice, so that your daily life can be tuned in into the Spirit of God and you can have a sweet experience. And when you do that, then it makes it easier for you to be able to hear things that are contrary to what you experience, because then you will no longer be in that place of judgment. Because that Spirit of God now is telling you, you will see clearly, just like the great saints. I'm not saying all saints. There's a difference, because each of us have different level. That's why they say the great ones. Because even if they are growing and, you know, until they emerge into that clarity, then they learn there is no place for judgment. That's why when you see somebody who you think is horrible and terrible, and you still wonder, why would God allow this person to exist or to do this? Because God doesn't see just those actions. God sees the totality, the wholesomeness of that soul. Because God created that soul. And God sees the future, which we don't see. Because by not being able to see the future, we make judgment based on what is happening now. And then we stick it to people based on their past actions, forgetting that people do evolve. Things change. Even the weather changes. So how much more attaching to a soul, because at the level they were, they made this mess. So we want to be like God. We want to be able to, you know, take things in stride. We have to invite God in. And that's why they encourage prayer, meditation, whatever we make you, even just observation of nature. We put you into that glorious splendor, acknowledging that glorious splendor of God. And when you see that, you find that when you are in nature where you are able to feel that presence, you don't make judgment. And I'm sure any of us, we've experienced it one way or the other. You don't make judgment when you are in that harmony with nature, when you are looking like, oh my God, look at what God created. You are so in awe. You so flow with that. You are in that beauty of that presence, that even things that used to irritate you, now you see it for what it is. Like, oh, look at that ivy poison. He's doing his own thing. And you stay in your own corner. He stays in his own corner. It doesn't affect you. But we need to acknowledge that as long as humans exist, they will always go from A to Z in judgment until they tap in into that Spirit of God. So elections will come and go. The actors of those elections will come and go. Just like those of the past who were influential, who were wealthy, who were all this, where are they today? If they didn't make use of what God has given them, they cannot use it on the other side. And people will forget about them. I mean, if you talk to Gen Z and all, you think they remember Rockefeller and all the other stuff? To them, it doesn't make sense. Those are people of the dead. That's how they see them. You know. But for their own generation, they see the players. So when we acknowledge that, that things do evolve and things will go, then it makes it easier. It doesn't mean you have to like what the other person is saying. But when you tune in from that Spirit of God, then you don't have hatred for that person. Then you know, if you are able to change, when we compare you to when you, where you started, you know the opportunities will also be given to the worst of the worst that we've made judgment about. They will also change. It might not be in your lifetime. And so then you are able to welcome every perspectives. Because then, what's the final conclusion? You take it and you offer it to God. It's an offering. And let God make the final determination. It does not obscure, it does not mean you should ignore the wisdom or the revelation God gave you. That was for you, for your own growth. And when people are ready to do that, to have a taste of that, you will know. You will share it, and they will hear it, and it will make sense to them, and they will imbibe it. Then they can put it to practice to make that effort. But none of us is allowed to impose on others our opinions. Because even God, who knows everything, does not impose it on us. Otherwise, we won't be in this mess. We won't be killing each other. And that's why they say, if you wish somebody evil, you better be ready to wear the garment of evil yourself. Because you live in the same space. And I'm not talking the physical space, that's spiritual space. So when you see what is going on in the Middle East, you cannot say, I don't want the Jews, the Israelis to exist. The moment you say that, your own existence is already done. And then you also don't say, because this person wishes that you shouldn't exist, you're going to clean them up. The moment you say you're going to wipe them off, you are also wiping yourself. So, and that's where the wisdom of God comes in. Because you will see in families, sometimes mothers and daughters, they don't get along. But they have to live in the same house. And so it is incumbent upon us to let that grace flow through us. So whatever is happening in the world, we have the power to make that change. Not by imposing your opinion, but by offering the thing that is so meaningful to you, that is so painful to God, to bring the solution. Only God will bring the solution. And it's not just going to drop from the sky. God is going to influence. God is the greatest influencer. Then God will use people to start making decisions that are beneficial. So let us not go to conclusion of that judgment that, oh, they will never happen. Because when you think about Egypt and Israel, they used to be, you know, now they've made peace. You know how many people have prayed for that peace? And then when God is like, okay, now they use Sadat of Egypt and not Rabin. Is it Rabin? Yeah, I think it's Rabin. To come together and they have their accord. Initially, it may not be perfect, but over time, they no longer see each other as enemies. Before, they used to be like enemies. The West and the old Soviet Union, right? But then within even the what we call the evil of the Soviet Union, there is a state of Georgia there, who they wanted liberation, Ukraine and all of them, because we group all of them together. But now, the same people that we didn't want to have anything to do with, aren't we supporting Ukraine now? You see, so that's why you cannot have a permanent enemy. It does not exist in the other realm. There's nothing like permanent enemy, permanent. No, the only thing permanent is God. So whatever you think of yourself here, whatever you think of others, And if it's judgmental and you know you are judging, bring it out and offer it to God. And that divine love, we wipe it clean and bring that newness so that then you can imbibe that newness wholeheartedly. And then you can be that pure channel. That is it. So once we acknowledge that, old enemies become the new friends. New friends become some enemies. Because, I mean, it's all Hollywood and Broadway show. And that's why God looks at us and says, ah, my dear children, only if you know yourself, you won't be doing this. So we can totally let the opposing views do. Observe it. Even if you make your own judgment, but then bring it and offer it to God so that you can get that clarity. So it doesn't matter whoever wins the election, the world will still go unwounded. So the only way out, acknowledge that humans will always do this, but acknowledge the presence of God and bring that presence in to make life easy and joyful for all of us. I hope that answers the question.
When we know we made a judgment, what's the best way? You said, take it to God. So should we pray or how do we do that? Or just be aware that I just judged? How is the best way to?
The first step to that, the question is, as a follow-up that, since we said take the judgment to God, how should we do that? Mm-hmm. Is it to pray, meditate on it, or to be aware of it? The first step to taking any form of judgment to God is awareness of it. Because if you are not aware you've made judgment, mm-hmm. what's the point of praying about it? Mm-hmm. And when I mean awareness, I don't mean, I just judged that person. You have to actually take it apart. What made you to judge that person? What is it about that thing that gave you that conclusion? Because if you don't immerse yourself in it, what are you going to pray for? You have to know, maybe it's the style of this person, the way they talk and all of that. Okay, then everybody have a style of talking. So then why did you? So maybe sometimes because you don't like the way they talked, it might even be a reflection of something in you that you may not even be solely aware of. So being aware means you take it apart. Because then when you take it apart, in the process of that, you will actually feel the presence of God already guiding you to. Uh-huh. And then just because the Spirit of God is guiding you, that's not the conclusion of that. Then you have to affirm by offering it to God. You have now to pray that you don't repeat the same thing. Because we keep forgetting how powerful we are. Because when we make that judgment, there's this essence of God's power in us that attaches to that. And when it attaches to that, it means it's going to manifest. That's why Jesus said, as you do unto others, they will do unto you. So when you take it apart, you know what? Then you ask Spirit to reverse that. You thank God for being given the wisdom. You ask Spirit to reverse that. And we've heard in meditation, even today, our service leader, mm-hmm. Said something about the meditation. Because we go out into the world, we experience other things. As you go out into the world and you see things, the energy flows out with your thoughts. And that's why they encourage people. Then bring yourself back from where those energies are flown. And then when you bring it back, then you can cleanse them of whatever it is. And then you can be fully saturated with that energy so that it can bind with the other energy that is there. So it's the same thing. There is a power that goes out of us with all our thoughts. And that's why, you know, managing our thoughts is one of the most challenging. Because we keep on underestimating, because we really don't know that the power of God is with us. We might say, okay, I acknowledge, I know. No, you don't really know, because if you know, you won't just be using it like that. The power to create, to make things, that belongs to God. And God has seeded it into each soul that is created. So then when you keep nurturing a particular thought, it's like an addiction. There is a will. It becomes permanent with you. And then it's more challenging to get yourself out of it. Not because that thought you have is what is impressing you. No, it's the power of God in you, the power to create, that makes it. Because every time you, okay, that power is manifesting. And then you wonder why you can't, you can't get this done. Why is it so hard to get over this? But the moment you acknowledge that that power of creation of God is with you, it sobers us up when we're thinking things that are not right. And then you have to now, is incumbent upon you, is your responsibility, since you dole it out, to bring it back and ask that divine power to take it, you know, take that power away. So that way it's not feeding it. And then it will be easier not to be in that place of judgment. It will be easier, not what you attach to the other person, for them to be able to kick it off and be free of it.
And when we talk about our guardian angel, could you give any insight about what that relationship is all about, the relationship we have in a lifetime with the guardian angel?
The question is, what is the relationship we have with our guardian angel? Do they really exist? What role do they really play? Or are we just deceiving ourselves? It is true we have a guardian angel, but not in the way people see it. The guardian angel is not on its own. It's an extension of God's creative power. Remember, I was just talking about this creative power. Each of us, each individual is given, each soul is given that. And that essence of God acts as our guardian angel. And so you may think it as a separate entity. And it is a separate entity, because none of us can totally imbibe the true nature of God. It's not going to exist. Even the ones, Jesus and all of that, they still are amazed that this thing we call God. And that's why in the metaphysical practice, you can actually create an entity with your own energy, because you have that creative power. And he will work like an angel. He will serve the purpose. So our guardian angel is that essence of God that has been given to an individual soul to help it along the way. Which tells us you cannot be in this world or do anything without the essence of God. But most of us ignore it anyway. So you can also see that your guardian angel, the most potent tool that guardian angel has to work with you is your intuition. That's the one telling you, don't go do that. It's not going to turn out right. You'll say, oh, well, I want this. It doesn't matter. And then it blows up in our favor. Then who do we run to? Oh, God, please save me from this.
So true.
And if we're not in tune with our guardian angel, then literally, so that we can get the concept of it, it's like we're tying it's like tying the wings of an angel or tying the wings of a bird. How is it going to fly, you know? So when you are not listening to it, it's not allowed to impose on you. So then you get the taste of your own. And then he said, that's why we were warning you. We told you. But is the guardian angel separate from us? Yeah, if you want to put it in the form that people can understand, yes, it's a different, if it has its own, is an entity separate from your own. But when you look at it from the spiritual side, it's not separate from you. But it's like a parent putting an arm over a child, you know, they want to cross the street, right? You know, the parent's hand is there. So you cannot say that thing is part of the kid, but is guiding the kid so if anything can happen, that thing will take it there. So that would be the way I can describe the guardian angel. And if you really want to see that essence, it takes a lot of deeper practice to where you will see that embodiment of God. You can even ask him, what is his name? Sometimes they won't tell you their name because they don't want you to abuse it, because then every time, because if you call somebody by their name, they have to respond. Then you say, hey, Elijah. You say, yes. Oh, should I eat tofu today or should I eat chicken? It's like, seriously? You think that's what I'm here for? No. So it's not that simple. It takes more work, more spiritual depth, growth, and ritual and offering for you to be able to see that entity of his own, that essence of God that is there helping you. And no human being, I don't care whether you are the super duper Jesus, and everyone has that essence of God to them. And the sure way of it happening is through your intuition. They will let you know. You will know this is different from your own thinking, you know, because that's the sure way they you can see that you have a guardian angel. And so that's why we do this offering every week. That you light a candle. Why? Because that eternal flame of God, that represents God. So that essence of God will continue to work with you. And then you invoke. And then what do we say? We say, God bless my guardian angel. Because you say, beloved, this is an extension of you. May it continue to be nourished by your power. In other words, because what good is it if God has given you an extensive hand and you don't use it? It will just be dormant. So when you do that prayer, you are affirming that you acknowledge that essence of God and you want it to continue to help you. Yeah. But there's more to guardian angel than we can only just stop there as much. Yeah. But yes, they do exist. But it's the essence of God. Yeah.
So is higher self the same as when they say higher self? Is it the same as guardian angel or is it?
No, that's different. Oh, the question is higher self the same? Is higher self the same as guardian angel? No, they are quite different. You see, the essence of God that is guiding you is here, is on the physical plane. Your higher self is not restricted to this physical realm. Your higher self is actually that which is created with your soul. It is the beginning or the foundation of the soul. And that one is imbibed in the Spirit of God. Though separated, but is imbibed in the Spirit of God. And so our higher self is always there to help us if we're able to connect and do things with it. And so, and that's why you could even say part of our higher self when we fall asleep. People always think, yeah, whether you dream or not, when you fall asleep, part of you is on the other side. Because that's your home anyway, so you're on vacation. So your higher self is pretty much established on the other side of our dreams. So it is through the higher self you see yourself maybe traveling somewhere or meeting your loved one who has passed on and all of that and all of that. Because we call it the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God that is molded in the soul. Yeah. So the higher self means you are in tune. And when you are fully tuned in with your higher self, you will find that all the other mistakes you make here, you won't be making it. Because your higher self really, that's where you can feel that presence of God. You know. The more you are tuned in with your higher self, the more liberated your higher self, not clogged by, you know. Yeah. The lesser mistakes you made. And when we say mistakes, we're not talking about what you did to someone else. What you did to your physical self through your subconscious, I'm not good enough. Oh, this is whatever it is you are complaining about. Then you find that there's no reason. I was in a session yesterday and somebody said, well, it has been said that, you know, because we have Arcadia rhythm, is that what they call it? Circadia rhythm? Yeah. So in other words, humans are supposed to go to bed at night, wake up in the morning, do all day thing and all of that. And so I said, yeah, that has a limitation because that's not how Spirit of God works. Yeah, if you are still not, but at a point comes, depending on where you are on your path, that they want you to be a master of both morning, afternoon, and nighttime and midnight. So you can be saying, oh, that's why when we do some meditational practice or rituals, we do it in the middle of the night because it's calmer on the earthly plane because most people are asleep. Their cars are parked in their garage or their, you know, the buses are here. Yeah. But then if you say, well, I'm falling asleep, I can't do this, then you need to train yourself. So that in the middle of the night, yeah, you are a master of it, just like you're a master of the daytime. So when that person said that the Arcadian rhythm and all of that, I said, well, the soul, the higher self, is not restricted to the mundane practice of just this earthly galaxy. Yeah. That's why sometimes when they are asking you to do something, if you are in that position, then you can explain like, well, on this plane, it doesn't work like that. Because if they tell you to go into the middle of the forest to go and meditate and all of that, and through the park, let's say like Central Park, they said, no admission, you can't go there during so and so. If you go there, they will arrest you. They don't care if you're talking to God. They will arrest you. You know? So then you have to tell them, okay, we cannot do this. Is there any other way? They might just tell you, okay, do it in your meditation room or in your house. Imagine the forest, you know. And he will carry out the not being able to ask. That's what, you know, that's when you know you are not really getting in tune with your higher self. Because the higher self knows and asks questions. Because that's how we know. When you ask the Spirit of God things, they will tell you, if you don't ask, well, I guess you don't want to know. Unless if it's so essential for your existence, then they will tell you whether you like it or not. So the higher self is a master of itself, enjoying itself in the celestial realm of God, in that energy. So yes, your higher self is different from your guardian angel.
Can you talk a little bit about, in this earthly realm, we have concept of right and wrong, good and bad. How do those concepts apply, if at all, in the spiritual realm?
I hope all of us can hear that. Do I need to repeat that?
I think that one's right.
All right. The concept of good and bad partly is divine, totally is human created. Some of the things we think is so important here doesn't even figure, it doesn't even register as a dot on the other side. Let me use the concept of beauty, right? I've always wondered until I read what Sri Yukteswar said, and I said, oh, now it makes sense to me. And for those of you who are into Star Trek and Star Wars, and you see all those creatures over there, yeah. In the physical realm, we think physical beauty, right? Oh, she's so beautiful, he's so handsome, and all of that, and all of that. And that may even make us swoon or make judgment and all of that. Some will say, well, look at that. He's so handsome, but what comes out of his mouth is awful. We're already comparing you. On the other side, the expression of beauty has nothing to do with your physical appearance. Totally not. That's why when you see someone that looks like one of those Star Wars or Star Trek, you know, at the beginning of walking this path, some of the ones I experience like, and then I will freak out because they are not supposed to look like that. They are supposed to look like gentle cherubs and all of that. And that's why even your best, let's say, your best deity or an archangel or whatever entity, they might take a different form to appear to you. And one of the reasons they do that is to disabuse our mind from being attached to one particular form. So I remember when my father passed, and God bless his soul, and I had this vision thing, and it scared the jeebies out of me, only to turn out into, oh, what a lovely experience. But not to, you know, so to still talk about the moral, what is good and bad. So the beauty that is celebrated there is usually when you are spiritually immersed in the divine spirit, when you know God. That beauty is what we would call the halo here. That's what they say. So when they tell you, oh, this soul is so beautiful, it's because of that essence of God. And to make an illustration of, they said, do not lie is against God's commandment. And we've heard a story where this person is working to be a saint, is really practicing, is going well. And an armed robber showed up and said, hey, that person, where did he go? Because the armed robber is so determined to kill that individual. And this holy man, let's use that word, because that's what he's been drummed down, or what he believed. instead of saying, well, initially probably you say, I don't know. But they said, if you don't tell me, I'm going to cut off your ear. Then he looked up, like to the tree, like that's where he's hiding. And the armed robber was able, and they killed him. What he did not know is that the life of a soul embodied in the physical form is more important than the words you will speak to spare that life. And that's why they told us that story. It doesn't mean you should go every day and make and be the fabulous Phoebe, you know. Don't just keep doling in a word they tell you, I can make fibs, I can tell lies. No. So what did he do? What he should have done is, no. You don't need to disclose where it is. You could even say, oh, he's gone that way. Let them run off there. But because this holy person didn't want to lie, it caused that, you know. So those moral judgments that we have here, some of them, you know, are we allowed to kill something if it's going to destroy someone? Yes. But then if you want to follow the Buddhist practice, which sometimes we make our own in a way that, you know, it says step aside, don't even kill an ant, don't kill a mosquito, don't do this. I grew up with that in elementary school. Put your feet apart, don't step on that ant because you cannot create it. So someone will say, okay, I'm not gonna eat meat. I'm not gonna do this. That's fine. If it works for you. But if you have to kill a mosquito to save your own life, yes, it's not gonna deprive you of God's kingdom, if you want to put it that way. So is it okay to steal? No. Don't be envious of your neighbor's possession to the point where you want to steal it and all of that. Don't do that. But if you have to steal a loaf of bread or an apple in order to survive, please do that. It's not going to keep you from God visiting with you. So it's up to each of us to have that discernment. And that the usual thing is bring God in so that you have that clarity. So that you know, even when the whole world is against you, like, no, you cannot do that. The Spirit tells you to do it, and you know you are not being deceived by your support, then you go ahead and do it. Even if you have to lose your life. In our Bible study this past Monday, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego with Daniel, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, asked them, you have to worship this and worship me and all of them. And they said, no, we're not going to worship you. We're not going to worship your God. We're not going to, even because our God will save us. Even if our God doesn't save us, we still won't worship you. Now somebody will say, don't you like your life better than to, you know? So those kind of moral judgment, it may apply. There are some things why Spirit said this should be. Because it's like when souls come in the flesh, it's like we lose, there's a bolt or bolts that we lose in our head. So, and that's why Spirit says, you know, be kind to your neighbors. Like Jesus said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. That anything else is a commentary. So if you really love your neighbor as yourself, and you see your neighbor is hungry, and they go to somebody's yard and stole some oranges off the, don't call the police on them. Because would you like it, they call the cops on you now. So individually, if we allow the Spirit of God to be in charge, then we will be able to make that. But then organizationally, because they want to keep all of us in check, so they have to follow a protocol, you know. Don't cheat, don't lie, don't steal, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. And then everybody takes it with them that, okay, that's the mantra, you know. So some of what applies there does not apply on the other side. First of all, nobody's going to be stealing anything you have on that side. You know, everybody has what they want. You know, nobody's going to be killing anybody there. That's why in our Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Because that word kingdom, what it represents is the way of God. When that way of God, when we are totally exposed to it, when each soul, then our behavior changes, our perception changes. And then we start acting the way they act on the other side. No judgment. They're not talking about moral laws, you know. I mean, we've heard about, they talk about hell, right? Well, my experience, I've not seen any furnace that is so huge that it's burning that everybody's just loaded there. But they use it here to scare people. If you do this, if you steal your neighbor's goat, instead of, you know, you're going to hell. If you even sneeze, you're going to hell. So we should, the key to the moral standing so that we can be in harmony with the divine will is to always ask Spirit to bless us with that clarity and discernment. Because when you have that clarity, your decision will be well made. And we will not be caught up in the moral tangles of our laws. But do they work for us? Yes, in most cases, if we follow that, it does make the society to go well. You know? May the divine wisdom continue to touch our hearts, transforms us in a way that we acknowledge the illumination of our souls. And may we continue to be that pure channel of God's wisdom, clarity and discernment in all that we do. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen.